Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
It looked like James picked the ball up, literally was like, I'm just going to run to the back.
He hit him with the spin into the step.
It was a cold move.
It was about five steps, but it looked like it was only two.
Man, it was about seven steps. In the last two, he picked up the right and the left.
Today's new age, that ain't no travel.
Man, that was such a travel.
LeBron travels every time he catches the ball when there's an inbound pass. I just want you to know this. He will literally catch the inbound pass,
Jay,
take a step or two, and then start dribbling. I can't.
Don't
I can't
say LeBron's name.
Everybody travels these days. It's
no,
where the game
but
is.
That one right there, to James. James picked the ball up and walked to the rim, and that wasn't. I like it.
Have you seen all these memes that people have been doing, like where they do LeBron, where they be going like this, just euro stepping all the way to the class.
LeBron was it last year? Was it last year? Yeah, last year when he picked the ball up across half court.
That's what I'm saying. Just walk with it.
He was like, oh, I forgot.
There's two things they don't call in the NBA anymore. One is the palming violation, right?
Yeah,
everybody
calls
anymore.
That. Nobody calls
that. Well, AI changed all that.
Right, just with his hand on the
changed
way.
All
changed
all that.
Changed it how?
Well, AI, the crossover?
But they let him, you said change it, they let him do it.
That's what I'm saying, they let him do it. But I mean, that was AI, I never forget this. Keep guarding him. Because you know, now kids want to hit you with like the hezzy, right? Like, ah. AI, when he would put the ball out on his right hand, out wide, like you could not guard it because he would literally cup it underneath so he can rock it into a jumper. Like, and it, but it rocks you back, or he would just yam you. He would just shake you, cross you, and like you would bite for it, but you had no idea which way it was going. But he would palm the hell out of that thing, man. He just changed it, and they allowed it, and that's when everybody started doing it.
It's the evolution of the game. It's the way it has to be.
I mean, right? I had some stuff like that every now and then on the football field. You know, hit a dude with one of them, and they go, bam, bam.
Oh, yeah, you had that. You had that footwork.
You got to have a little bit of that, a little shake.
So you told
I wasn't just big.
You had a little bit more of LeBron James shaking because you hit
big.
Him with the muscle and the body,
I was
too.
Big, but I could play small or big, either one.
Okay, you know? I see you, Mr. Versatility.
Oh, I could catch a dude. I could talk about myself, too, now, if you want me to.
See, Zubin, I leave for one segment. He signs a book, and here we go. This is what happens. I leave for one segment.
Yeah, Chris Canty joined us a minute ago.
He encouraged
Very
Canty
aggressive.
To buy the paperback also.
It wasn't paperback.
No, to encourage him to buy the paperback.
Yeah.
Why can't you buy the hardcover?
It wasn't paperback.
Jay, just be glad he tried to sign him to a contract. Chris declined. I mean, he left for 2 seconds. He almost got Wally pipped.
Damn.
Man, Chris was big. He was standing over me talking about, you better sign this book.
You better give me your cornbread.
Very aggressive style. He approached that he took to get me to sign a book for his friend. It was very nervous.
It was for his
so to
dad.
Speak.
That's why he was passionate about it.
No, it was for a friend.
Oh, for a friend.
Yeah, it was
okay.
Just a friend, but he was standing over me, hovering around me, and I had to tell him to back up because what he was doing is making me feel, you know, it was a very uncomfortable position, I must say, Zubin, that I had a very large man standing over me.
See, when people don't understand, you know, it's one thing to sit up here and call people names as a fan and you do all this stuff, right? When you see some of these cats, like when you see Chris Canty, like, yo,
yeah,
big boy.
But see, you see him right now, right, big boy. What do you think he looked like with his pads
That's
on?
That's what I'm saying.
With a helmet on. How much bigger do you think? When he got drafted with the Cowboys, I'm like, damn, big? That's the first thing I say.
I gave the comp to Zion because he reminded me of Julius Peppers.
Oh, man,
like,
JP.
Now, I saw JP on the basketball field. Then I saw this dude when he played in Chicago with a helmet and pads. I said, I don't want nothing to do with that.
I played with him in Carolina and I played against him. Huge. But here's one for you, though, Zubin. When I retired, I go up to Foxborough, and I was already out the league or whatever. It's been about a year. So first time I've gone to a game in person. And I go down the sideline pregame, whatever, and I'm standing literally by the tunnel that they come out, the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm talking to some coaches and whatnot. And these dudes, shadows come by me. Shoom, shoom. These dudes so big. They come, Staley passes me by, Patrick Willis. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, I said, man, ain't no way in the hell I play football. These dudes, it was crazy. I'm like, something was wrong with my brain mentally to be able to play football and not think about getting hit by one of those dudes.
Were you saying that past tense? Like, there's nothing wrong with you now?
Here we go with the Duke education. Let's go, Zubin.
Last thing, did you sign the book the way Kobe told you to sign your autograph, or did you give him a nice?
Oh, yeah,
no,
easy,
I did
yeah,
it. It was quick. You see how fast it was?
Quick.
Bam.
Boom, boom, boom.
Some things you take with you forever.
Gotcha. All right, so that. Number? Name and number. Boom.
That's it. Keep it moving.
We're moving on. Let's keep it moving. So you wanted to shush LeBron. So we did last night because LeBron actually didn't play last
night. I never shushed LeBron. I don't make mention of LeBron. LeBron already came at me once.
That's why
he likes to remind
me
every time I say anything about
LeBron.
Better
leave LeBron alone. Dame Lillard, all them. You just got to leave him. You got to leave him alone.
Dan Orlovsky found out quick about
Dame. He learned about Dame Lillard.
You're going to learn today, Dan.
That he did. So from this standpoint, LeBron doesn't play last night. AD doesn't play last night. So it's not like a shocker. They lose to the Sacramento Kings, 123-120.
Yeah,
Buddy Hield went off. So
yeah,
LeBron clearly is an MVP.
It's going to pass up that the Lakers lost to the Kings. We're just going to make it seem like, oh, it's not a shocker.
The Jazz lost
LeBron
two in a row.
I understand.
So it's not. The Lakers lost. They lost.
I know.
It's not that big of a deal. LeBron rested. We knew this. AD's not
Brooklyn
there.
Loses, though. Uh-oh. What's wrong, Brooklyn? Every day, what's wrong?
Not me. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that if they lost. Not at all.
So Brooklyn has an MVP candidate of their own in James Harden. Balled out triple-double. Nets hit the break, winning 10 of 11. They're 24-13, but they are a half a game back of the Philadelphia 76ers in the division, who got an incredible 40.19 rebound performance from Joel Embiid, as the guy said, in a win over Utah, who for the most part this season has been considered the league's best team. ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt last night saying, this dude about a week and a half ago dropped a half a hundred. He dropped a half a hundred. Mm. But what he saw last night in a 40-point outing was even better, and it's time for Embiid to be in the MVP chase.
You know, I thought the 50-point game against Toronto a week and a half ago was his signature moment to thrust himself to the head of the MVP conversation. But that was nothing compared to this game. I mean, he did everything humanly possible on both ends of the floor that a guy needs to say, I'm the MVP of this league. And I don't think it's close right now, Scott, based on the fact that the Sixers are number one in the East. And I can't imagine what this team would look like without what Joel Embiid has become.
And Jay, as you mentioned, not just 40-19, but one thing that I guess all big men have to be able to do now, but he does with incredible proficiency, game-tying three late in regulation to send it to OT.
At that size, I mean, he's the most skilled big man I've ever seen. I mean, at that, I've never seen a big man at that size, like, you know, 260 pounds, the way he's able to move, being healthy, have that kind of touch around the rim, and the footwork is, you know, the reason why people compare him to Hakeem Olajuwon to a degree is because of the footwork, because of the dexterity that he has. It's so graceful for a guy that size. And Legs brings up a great point, which is, I still have James Harden, a slight advantage. Like, I have James Harden 1A, and then I have Joel Embiid 1A.01, right? Like, it's LeBron James is still right there, too. But I think LeBron James has lost a little bit of that due to the skid that they went on when AD and Dennis Schroeder weren't there. But like I'm saying, this is also fluid. This is going to change. But Joel Embiid, I've never seen anything like it. And he's healthy. He's healthy. He's played almost all their games. And that's the difference between this year and years prior.
Can he keep it up, though? Can he keep the momentum, the goodwill that he has now with the Philadelphia 76ers and Glenn Rivers? Can he keep this going and make you feel like in the end he's going to have his team right there in the Eastern Conference Final ahead of Milwaukee and right there with Brooklyn?
You know, I think he can, and here's why I like it, because it's also mentality. You know, a couple of years ago everybody would say, well, Joel Embiid, are you the villain? Are you the guy that's always going to, you know, are you the guy that's going to joke around after games like you don't care? Are you going to take it seriously? Are you the guy that after you lost to Toronto when Kawhi made that shot that was crying in the hallway where it looked like it meant something to you? Like it was serious. Like you were – I know, but these are the narratives that start spinning around.
I get it.
And there were a lot of times, Key, too, where like you would look at Joel like, come on, Joel. Like just take this damn thing serious. Like want it. Well, all I'm saying is he still has the antics, which I like, but he takes it serious. Like last night, people aren't going to recognize because it happened in OT. He makes a step back shot to get them to overtime. And then essentially, you know, he flops, right? One of the players, Rudy Gobert, hits him with a little bit of slight elbow and he just flops to the ground and goes down. And Donovan Mitchell starts barking back at the ref, right? But the ref doesn't really react. And then Joel Embiid gets up and he's like, oh, ref, you don't tee him up. Like implies to the ref, tee him up. The ref then listens to Donovan Moore and tees Donovan up. And then in a matter of seconds afterwards, Donovan's still barking. And then the ref tees him up again for a second tech. Joel goes over to him, hugs him, is talking trash to him. And Donovan gets ejected, right? I mean, it leads to the – but these are antics that a part of me now likes about Joel Embiid. Like he will play into it even more and get you to be uncomfortable with yourself, but while he's taking the game seriously and playing hard and showing you the durability.
Let me give you one quick story. And by the way, if you listen to Jay, yes, two technicals, both in overtime. That's not something you see very happen. Often. Two technicals in overtime.
See, look, and now you can't see ejected. It, but Joel Embiid is literally following him over. Donovan Mitchell's going out, knocks over the Gatorade. Poor Gatorade bottle didn't do nothing to you, Donovan. But, like, that's how Joel Embiid can also – and then Joel Embiid will tweet you afterwards. He quote-tweeted Donovan afterwards. Like, he keeps that fire going. That's who Joel Embiid is.
Last thing I would tell you, a quick story. Gary Parrish is a great college basketball writer. Jay, I'm sure you know him. He's the Afternoon Drive host on our affiliate in Memphis. I know you went on our Memphis station the other day, 97.9 ESPN.
Memphis loves us.
We love Memphis.
They
we
do love Memphis. Us. That is true. That
John
is
Morant territory,
true.
Baby.
He gave a quick story here. You guys remember, we're going to get to NFL talk here in just 1 minute. Do you remember how big the hype was when Andrew Wiggins went to Kansas? I know he hasn't turned out to be the NBA player they thought. Do you remember the hype for Andrew Wiggins? How big? Coming from Canada, this guy's going to change
everything. Cover Sports Illustrated, right?
Right.
Comparing to Will Chamberlain.
So Gary said he was out there doing it at a practice. He was at a practice. And he said, you know, obviously he's there probably doing the story on Wiggins, right? You know, season preview type thing. How great is this guy going to be? And he went over to Bill Self and he said, what do you think? He goes, it's really good. Like, really good. He goes, but he goes, the best player we're ever going to have here is over there. Mm. Nobody knew him because everybody was there to do the story on Wiggins. And Gary said, he turned around, he's like, the best player you've ever had here. You know how many dudes have run through Kansas under Bill Self?
Paul Pierce.
He looked over there legends. And some dude like Joel Embiid was just sitting there shooting some free throws. And now you think about it, how right Self was. All of the hype. Was on Wiggins, but he just casually turned to Gary and said, nah, best guy, right there. Mm. You could see it right away. And I think it's finally coming to fruition, especially because the health has been the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing he's had to overcome, and he's been able to overcome it this year.
Agreed. And Ben Simmons defensively has been a dog.
No doubt.
He's been, if you watch the game he played against Luka Doncic, is it Doncic? Doncic?
Well, do me a favor. Just Luka. Say Luka.
Luka. There you go.
He's good enough to be one Luka. He's good enough to be
Until you get it practicing a little bit, just say
like
Luka.
Big Vucevic. Yeah. Sound just, like my guy Perk.
Yeah. Luka. It's okay.
What he did to Luka, though, I mean, it's you see how special of a talent Ben Simmons have. And now that we surround him with guys like shooters, like Seth Curry and company, the way Tobias Harris is playing. They are a team to contend for a world
title.
From
a defensive standpoint, though, being a bigger guard gives a smaller – either smaller guards struggle with that or big guys struggle with it because of the same size, I'm assuming.
Exactly. Well, you have Ben, and then after Ben goes off, you have Matisse Thybulle that he comes in, and then he gives you the same kind of effort defensively, which is scary.
And as you know, Thybulle in college, was that's his whole thing.
That's his whole game.
Playing defense, making steals.
I didn't butcher that name.
No, that's a tough one, though. But you're right. They threaten Ben Simmons – by saying, we're going to bring James Harden in here, Morey, I'm going to pull the trigger, we're going to get him. They challenged him, and he's playing the best basketball of his career. That is indeed notable. Let's go to the NFL after this reminder today on the ESPN Daily Podcast. If you love boxing, Claressa Shields might be the best women's boxer ever. Learn how she's making history in one sport while potentially blazing a trail in another, perfect for Women's History Month. That's on the ESPN Daily Podcast. Pablo Astori, listen on your favorite podcast app or wherever you get podcasts. Time for best case, worst case with the team that might have the biggest target on their back this coming season. And who has pushed their chips to the center of the table more than the Los Angeles Rams this offseason? The whole deal to get Matthew Stafford, bringing in guys. They've tried to do everything. They are maxed out cap-wise, but they are trying to do it. Sean McVay, 4 years on the job, 3 playoff appearances, and 1 Super Bowl appearance. For more on what the best and worst case scenario is, Key, this is your guy, Travis Rogers from ESPN LA 710.
Yes, that is my guy.
Good morning, Travis. How are you? They always say the promos. Good morning, Travis. How are you?
What up, sweet tea?
I am fantastic. It's good to talk to you guys. I'm just thrilled that Keyshawn remembers my name. I thought after he left us behind that he would have gone big time and I never would have heard from him again. This is exciting.
Wow. Oh, stop. I'll talk to you at least 3 times a day.
So, Trav, what is the best case scenario for the Rams now that Matthew Stafford is in the fold?
Well, I think that they've already gone about 90% of the way on best case scenario, and that is getting a quarterback that wasn't Jared Goff. Hopefully the Matt Stafford Detroit Lions, you know, dirt kind of washes off nice and easily. Hopefully that happens. Hopefully Sean McVay was held back by Jared Goff. Matt Stafford obviously comes in and gives them a huge upgrade there. The offensive explosivity that they really haven't had for a couple of seasons returns because they have a quarterback that can make a little bit of a better decision. Cam Akers still stays healthy. I think that's incredibly important. And maybe a squeeze one more year out of Andrew Whitworth, who's 39 years old. So I think those are the best possible scenarios. But I think they're probably most of the way there because the Rams were the only team that got deep into the playoffs where their biggest liability was their quarterback. You look at the other teams that got into that second round, the quarterback was in large part the reason they were there. The Rams were there despite the fact that the quarterback was holding them back, so they have already executed a huge part of the best-case scenario.
Totally right there. Whitworth protecting Stafford now, and the fact that Sean McVay, who had never said a crossword since arriving in L.A., I mean, he let it out there on Goff, at least to his extent. Worst-case scenario for the team would be this offseason what?
Well, the Lions weren't the problem with Matt Stafford, that there's something there that the stats don't show, that he doesn't become the guy that we're hoping he does, that Aaron Donald's injury lingers, and then it spirals from there because, like you guys said, they pushed all in. They don't have any draft picks. They don't have any money. They don't have anything to do other than what they have right here in front of them. So if the draft picks don't pan out, they've got no way to fix it. They don't have any first-round draft picks to do it. They've been pretty good in the draft beyond the first round so far. Maybe that doesn't work out there. San Francisco could find a quarterback. That's bad news. J.J. Watt has a little bit left in the tank. That's bad news. Russell Wilson decides to stay in Seattle, that could be bad news. So there is a scenario, but I've just kind of blocked all of that out. When they did what they did, I think that everybody's incredibly excited about what it is. But if Matt Stafford is not the answer, I don't know how you fix it from there.
Are you in the home studio or are you in Staples?
No, I wish I was in Staples, Key. I'm still in my garage, man. I've been in the garage since March. I haven't gotten out yet.
Okay, so you're Travis right now. You're not Sweet Tea.
No,
so,
Sweet Tea, I have to cross through Long Beach to turn into Sweet Tea.
Exactly. Wait,
what's the difference between Sweet Tea and Travis?
I'll explain it to you. So Sean McVay's been to the playoffs, Travis, 3 out of the last 4 years. So what would constitute a successful season for the Rams in 2021?
Well, I think it's twofold, Key. I think, number one, they need to go further than they did last year, which was the second round of the playoffs, the divisional round. So you got to get at least into the conference finals. But I think considering the price they paid to get it done, I think it's a Super Bowl appearance or bust. You cannot give a guy $100 million like they gave to Jared Goff and then 5 minutes later decide that, you know what, he's not our guy. Let's get rid of him, and here's a couple of first-round draft picks to take him off of our hands. So I think you got to get to the Super Bowl, if not this year, then in the first couple of years. And for the first time ever, I think Sean McVay has a little bit of a target on him because you saw it last year. When the Rams would lose, everybody would immediately turn to Jared Goff and go, that's the problem right there. If Jared Goff isn't there and they continue to struggle offensively, if they continue to make some of the same mistakes, then there's not going to be Jared Goff to point at. They're going to start pointing at Sean McVay.
So, Sweet Tea, Jay, will to answer your question. Travis lives in a very affluent neighborhood in South Orange County. And people in Orange County, their skin start to itch as they get closer to South L.A., kind of downtown, 710 freeway, a little more urban. And so when he crosses over the 710 freeway to go to the 110 urban freeway, he becomes cool, Travis. Gold chains. He's hanging out with us, me and LZ. So he became
Sweet Tea.
Yeah, he cool. He eating Popeye's chicken. He chilling. When he goes back down south, he becomes Travis, which is buttoned up. We're going to play some golf. My buddies, we're going to go and have what's the drink that we drink, Travis, when we're together?
Old fashioned. You forgot an important part of this. When you shake hands, you got to keep the elbow by
your
side.
You got to keep the elbow nice and wide. So that's why he becomes Travis when he goes to South Orange County. When he's down with us in the hood, he's Sweet Tea.
Does Travis put hot sauce on the chicken, or is the Sweet Tea put hot sauce
on the
chicken?
No, he
don't. But Jay, I will eat whatever you put in front of me. Key can speak to this. Yes. Whether it's got hot sauce or no, whatever it is, I am your guy.
Yes, we've had many dinners together. I used to cook for them and bring the food in the morning time for them and everything.
We gotta get the show out to LA. We gotta bring Sweet Tea on. I want to see the difference, the dichotomy between Sweet Tea and Travis. I need
plenty of room in my garage, Jay. Well, we can all hang out here.
Well, look at his picture. That'll tell you what
that's
Sweet
Travis.
That's Travis.
That's Travis.
That's Travis. That's Travis right there, Zuby. So I'll show you some pictures of Sweet Tea.
Travis, I feel like I know you with all the promos we do, man.
No, I love it, man. I love it when you throw it to me, and I like that you're giving Key a hard time with the Lakers. I'm with Key. The Lakers are going to be just fine, but I like hearing you give them a hard time.
Well, okay, so answer me this, because I know that's your squad.
Yeah.
But who would be your top three candidates, and rank them for me in order as far as MVP right now in the NBA?
LeBron, Harden, Embiid, in that order.
Wow, why is Embiid third, considering what he did last night? I mean, he 40-19 against Rudy Gobert, 50 points against Chicago the other night, number one in the East. I mean, if there's anything, Travis, like, I'm wondering, did LeBron lose a little bit of his way due to that skid that they have without Andy and Dennis Schroeder?
Well, I don't know if he lost a little bit of his way. I think last night when you got to watch him play against Sacramento without him at all, you realized just how much he was doing with that Laker team, because without AD and without LeBron, they were missing Gasol, they were missing Caruso, a bunch of guys. That Laker team gave me a cold shiver down my spine to the Laker teams from a couple of years ago where they were really very under-talented. But I still think LeBron's at the top. Embiid's having a great year. Harden's having a great year. But I just think that LeBron has more on his plate every night than any other player in the league. He handles it better than any other player in the league, and when it's time to go, and I think you're going to see him time to go coming out of this All-Star break, he's going to push himself right back to the top of the list.
Got to give us a yes, no. We were stunned that Key was watching Dodger spring training baseball. We actually made him give us proof.
Hey,
do you watch that stuff?
Let me tell you this, Zubin. Yes, I watch it as well, but do not sleep on Key's Dodger knowledge. I'm telling you right now that he has got some deep Dodger knowledge that I was like you guys. The first couple of times he laid some Daryl Thomas and Reggie Smith info on me, I'm like, wait, Key's a baseball guy? But he's got it for sure.
They were shocked that I was watching spring training.
I'm not. You know, I'm not.
I had to see what Gavin Lux had, man.
Yeah, not much.
Not exactly.
Hopefully he gets it squared away.
Key'll drop a Steve Sachs reference every now and again. Thank you, Trav.
Thanks,
all right, Sweet T. All right.
Sweet T, there he is. His
well, you know, he's Travis because he's down in South Orange County. He's buttoned up.
He hasn't been Sweet T for a while since
last
March.
Yeah, he's been Travis. Yeah. He hasn't been down in downtown L.A. in a while.
Last March, Keyshawn J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. That was Travis Rogers, pre- and post-host for the Los Angeles Rams, who have a bullseye on their back, joined us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Pre-post and halftime.
Oh, all three.
That's what we call him.
Pre-post
and halftime. Don't forget the halftime.
On the way, I think we all remember, if you're old enough, this guest next. One of the most unlikely winners in the history of the NBA Slam Dunk Contest will join us next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, ESPN Radio on the ESPN app. Off to NBA All-Star Weekend.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good morning. I'm Zubin Mehenti here with your SportsCenter update. Greg McDermott, head coach of the Creighton Blue Jays, revealed yesterday, after making some insensitive comments on Saturday after the loss at Xavier, in which he asked his players to stay on the plantation in a weak effort to ask them to stay together, said yesterday before their huge game with Villanova, "I offered to resign for making those comments." He did not take questions after the game, a 12-point loss to Villanova, but he did say he saw the pain in their faces, speaking of his players, and asking for some contrition, saying, quote, "one mistake doesn't define you." Creighton back in action. They'll take on the Bulldogs of Butler on Saturday. Selection Sunday, Creighton is definitely going to be in the field. It'll be Sunday, March 14th. So they need a little bit of a break here. The Nets are getting a little bit of a break as well. They've hit the All-Star break. They're 24-13. They're on fire. Their latest win, James Harden's homecoming to Houston, 132-114. Harden, 29-10-14 dimes, his eighth triple-double since joining the Nets. They are on fire. They sit a half game behind the Sixers in the Atlantic Division. Embiid balled out for 40-19 in an OT win against Utah. Black history always. Today we honor Bullet Bob Hayes, the only man to win the Super Bowl and an Olympic gold medal. That is incredible. Known as Bullet because of his incredible speed, and I still think it's one of the greatest accomplishments any athlete can have. You can only hold it for a very finite amount of time. Michael Johnson, Usain Bolt, and certainly Bullet Bob Hayes was once the world's fastest man. In 1964, the following year, he was an NFL All-Pro in his rookie season with the Cowboys. And to add to the Black History Always theme of this, he played at a historically black college and university, Florida A&M. SportsCenter is presented by Progressive Insurance. With more than 30 unique coverage options available, Progressive knows small business. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. We are getting ready for NBA All-Star Weekend in Atlanta, and it's just a little coincidental that one of the, I think, most legendary Atlanta Hawks is on the phone with us now, and that, of course, is Spud Webb. I think the greatest slam dunk champion in NBA history. The fact that, I mean, if you're old enough to remember the 50-pointer, the last one, where the palm off the backboard, everything, if you're old enough to remember that, remember, Spud couldn't even palm the ball, right? So what he was able to do with that 50, with his family in the crowd, I mean, it couldn't be better. Spud, you put so many smiles on so many faces as people have thought about that over the decades. But I want to know, who do you think? Most people say my favorite slam dunk champion is Spud. But who do you think? We've had some legends. We've had some unlikely people. Who is your favorite slam dunk champion?
Well, Dominique, man, he was my favorite because he dunked so powerful. When his dunks go through the windmills, it's like sometimes we be in film supposed to be watching the other team and we end up watching Dominique dunk.
Last thing quickly, can you remind me who you defeated in the final round of the slam dunk title that year? I'm just trying to remember.
Well, my good friend Dominique.
That's right. I just wanted to make sure we got that right. Okay.
Spud, you know, we're showing some highlights of some of the yams you put down. I remember being a little kid watching you. I'm only 6'2". Key always teases me about being the short guy on the crew. You know, but it's amazing some of the things you were able to do. How many people come up to you and talk to you about, you know, that moment in 1986 and your overall career?
Oh, every day, Jay. I mean, every store you walk in, anywhere you go, they all say they were there. The arena only held 20,000. I bet 100,000 people have told me they were there. But Doc Rivers told me, he said, man, you're going to never live that down. And he wasn't joking. And everywhere you go, somebody asks you, can you still dunk? Can you touch the ceiling? It's just, but, you know, that's why I started getting out of dunk contests, because you want to be known as a basketball player, not a sideshow. But I'd never live that down.
Interesting. Interesting. That's why you decided to get out of it, because now, you know, we talk about how do we make this event better each and every year. Do you think that's why guys don't want to participate in the slam dunk contest as much, like the bigger name superstars?
Yeah, you want the bigger names because, you know, you want to see the best. And we all talk about it all the time, man. We want to see this guy, that guy get in because he's one of the best players. Like when Dominique and Jordan was going at it, which I thought was the best dunk contest ever. You want to see the bigger guys get in it. And, you know, it's kind of disappointing when you don't see the bigger names get in.
How about LeBron James? I mean, I know obviously he carries a pretty large load throughout the course of the season. He's always trying to win a championship, which is understood. But, you know, Michael Jordan was trying to do the same thing back then, and he participated in, like you just mentioned. You know, why do you think we haven't seen LeBron James in a slam dunk competition?
I don't know. I mean, for about 10 years, we've been, you know, wishing and hoping that he'd get in it, and that was the one thing that, you know, all the guys like him have a dunk contest championship, a trophy. And I just thought, like, in 2008, 9, and 10, I thought there were the 3 years that he could have won it easily and went on about his business.
You know, we are joined by Spud Webb, the 1986 NBA slam dunk champion. NBA All-Star Weekend is coming to Atlanta, and you're going to be a judge this year. We have five past slam dunk champions to serve as judges this year. D. Brown, hopefully he won't have his eyes covered. He'll be looking at the dunk. Sorry, too easy. Had to go with that one. Jason Richardson, Josh Smith, Spud, and, of course, the human highlight film in Dominique back in Atlanta. So, you know, one of the things, Spud, everybody said, like, everything has been done. So now you're a judge. Lay it out there for those that are going to be taking part. What do you want to see? What would have you flash a 10?
Well, I mean, we got some guys people probably haven't seen much, but they jump out the gym. So hopefully they can carry the show that doing something. It's going to be hard to say, you know, do something new because what can you do new? All these guys over the past decades has been doing all these dunks. So I don't know what they can come up with. But the young guys are very creative. So I just want to see some creative, good, powerful dunks. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a prop in there somewhere. I don't care for the props. I like the, you know, you dunk one, I dunk one better type.
It's going to be crazy to see guys, you know, especially guys like Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, some of the dunks they've done in the past, see, you know, what these guys can live up to. But Spud, I wanted to ask you, how do you feel ultimately about the NBA's decision to hold the All-Star Weekend in Atlanta during a pandemic?
Well, definitely, you know, that, you know, the guys sound like they didn't want to, you know, have it, but, you know, you got to go where the job take you. So, but it's just a good cause, though. You got HBCU, they donate to that. The awareness of COVID-19, all that get out on national TV, and the NBA does an excellent job at promoting charities and COVID being safe and protective and wearing your mask and distance.
Spud, out of all the guys in the league, you know, we've seen some massive games. Fred VanVleet goes for 50 points one night. Or, you know, as a little guy, as Key would call me, are there any little guys out there that you're like, yo, his game reminds me of mine. He can get it in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, Jay, I mean, you know, you probably sit there, you scored a lot, probably say, hey, if I played in today's game, a point guard gets to shoot first. That never happened back in the day. And then you see guys like Damon, you know, every night you come home, you go, let me see a Portland on, because you know, that's the way you want to play. Then the alarm clock go off, you find that Dame is very special. But I watch all the guys, Kyrie, Dame, Curry. I watch all the young, the point guards, because, you know, that's the way you wanted to play back in the day. But now Dominique was right in your ear. I'm telling me where he is and where he's going to be so I can get him the ball.
Jay.
No, I was going to ask one last question. This is one hell of a race we're watching right now before the All-Star break just dropped. Joel Embiid dropped 40 points last night, 19 rebounds against the Utah Jazz, and Rudy Gobert, James Harden had a triple-double. LeBron sat out against the Kings, but obviously shows you the importance of him on the floor. If you had to rank those three, where would they be in your MVP voting list right now, Spud?
Yeah, I think LeBron front runner right now on the way he's been playing at that age. But Embiid and Joker, man, I sit there and watch them every night too, man. That's tough. And then now James is, you know, people thought he just dribble around and what he do, but he makes a lot of people better, man, more than people think. So I think he's if they keep winning and Durant come back, I think one of those guys have a chance to win the MVP. But I think right now LeBron is just, you know, way ahead of people on that right now. But Joker, he's something to watch, though.
Special, man. He's special.
Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets, he is something, and Spud hit on something that a lot of people are sleeping on with Harden, is that not just the triple-doubles, like 14 dimes last night. It's not something that you generally expect. You expect the 29 points, the 10 boards, but the 14 dimes, eighth triple-double since he joined the Nets. It's going to be a constellation of stars, past, present, and for the dunk contest, perhaps the future of the league. Spud will look for you this weekend. To the victors go the spoils. You win it, you get to judge the guys as well. Thank you so much. Great to have you on.
Thanks, Bud.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Great stuff there. Key is back with us. Key, we were just talking about, I mean.
Talking about how Key hates on the little guys.
Man, stop, man.
Spud said,
what are you talking about? You call me small all the time.
No, I do not call you small. I don't call you small. You feel that way because.
Got it. Fair enough. We'll leave it at that. All of our guests, including the great Anthony Spud Webb, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. On the way, it's a fan base that's been looking to go hog wild for 25 years, and it looks like it's finally about to happen. That's after Jay has this from Granger.
Undersized. I love it. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I've said before, most dangerous place on earth, more dangerous than the dark web, KJZ Twitter feed. So go ahead, Key. You want to say something? Say it.
Well, our producer just got in my ear and said somebody on Twitter is complaining that every time I'm on Get Up, I wear a hoodie. Just in case you are out there, I want to say this. There's two different shows, two different studios. My studio is on the other side of Greeny's studio. And when they want to use me, I'm not changing clothes. I'm going over there in the clothes that I have on currently, which is a hoodie. So if you have a problem with that, don't watch. That's all I'm saying. I wear hoodies, period.
Okay, glad we got that off our chests.
Indeed.
Because I don't like, I hate that.
But you tell people not to pay attention to Twitter, but yet something on Twitter gets you angry.
Because my producer got in my ear and said something.
Evan, why are you doing that?
If he didn't say that, I wouldn't even be worried about it.
See, I don't drive a car anymore, but I'm going to make a
great
hard
content.
Right turn right here.
Right Evan turn. Said great content.
Great
That's
content.
Why we great content.
Just I know we want to get to before we let it go.
Go for it.
But
go.
It's ridiculous. What the hell do you care about what I have on?
And people love just to argue, though. I mean, yes. Somebody's like, oh, I can't believe you didn't put Jokic in your MVP conversation. I'm like, well, he's on the outside looking in because they're not top five in the West.
Sorry, I tweeted that to you. Sorry, that's the Nuggets.
Be top five in the West, and I'll put Jokic on the MVP list. I don't know what you want me to do.
Spudwood, right?
I wish I would.
Man, I wish I knew who the person was because I'd tell him, why are you wearing those Wrangler jeans to work? That's what
why
I
are they
say.
Wearing Wrangler?
I just came up. I don't know. He might be wearing Wrangler. You go figure.
I'm about to walk off the set.
Why sure are you wearing those cowboy Wrangler. Boots? What? Like, come on, man.
Just a reminder.
Say khakis. Khakis.
Greeny not Wranglers.
Greeny is definitely going khakis over Wranglers. I mean, I don't really know Greeny well. I can't see Greeny rolling
sweating.
Around in Wranglers.
I got a hoodie
all
on.
The jean selections, he went with Wranglers. I'm dying.
Well, Wranglers, cowboy boots, they go together.
Indeed. Oh, so Greeny this week, by the way, he's got Mike Doc Emrick coming up today, the legendary hockey broadcaster. It's been legendary broadcasters week. Costas was on, Al Michaels was on, Vern Lundquist was on. I love that he had Vern on because this is Vern's time of year. March Madness, Masters, perfect time.
I love listening to him.
Incredible voice. Like, voice was made in a lab. Like, it was like, it's not like a natural voice. It was like made in a lab. Last thing for you, Selection Sunday is Sunday, March 14th. And if you're old enough to remember this team being great, our younger listeners are like, for real? But this is true. A long time ago, the University of Arkansas used to be nasty, like big nasty, right? Remember big nasty Corliss Williamson?
Yeah.
Arkansas has not been to the Sweet 16. I'm not asking them to go to the championship. Look, it's Scotty Thurman hitting a 3-1. I'm not asking Scotty Thurman, Corliss Williamson, Nolan Richardson, 40 Minutes of Hell, all that stuff they used to do in Fayetteville. Arkansas has not been to the Sweet 16 in a quarter century. This is one of, I mean, in the 70s, they were legendary when Sidney Moncrief was there. I mean, they've had so many great players over the years. But this year, they are sitting in second in the SEC behind the SEC champion, Alabama Crimson Tide. And Nate Oates, our head coach, joined us this morning. You can check out Nate on hour three of the podcast if you're interested. He had some great stuff to say, Rib and Jay, about the Bobby Hurley connection. He followed Bobby Hurley, knows him quite well. And, of course, Jay and Bobby, two of the great point guards ever at Duke. But they sit there at 12-4. They're 20-5 overall. And Jay, while Eric Musselman may not have really succeeded in the NBA, he is a terrific college basketball coach. Not a lot of people talking about Arkansas right now, but just watch out for him because on the year that Duke may not make it. The Blue Bloods may not get in, right? Duke, Michigan State, all those sorts of schools. There's another school that may be on the way up that used to be great that's finding that greatness again. The Arkansas Razorbacks.
And Eric Musselman is one hell of a coach. He's really incredible. Spent time with the Sacramento Kings before being let go. But just the way he's came through the NBA ranks. And I will say this, when you watch Arkansas basketball, their style is very fun to watch. He plays an NBA-like style with their ability to spread the floor and knock down shots. And
Todd Day.
Todd Day, great pull. Great pull, Todd Day. Todd all day, he could shoot. This is the guy I remember a few years ago when he was in Nevada at the tournament that was always ripping his shirt off after a game. Remember that? And his kids and his wife were all involved in it. So he's having a little fun in college basketball. All right, on the way out here, we asked every fan base in the NFL can get in on this morning's question. What constitutes success for your team? If you're the Chiefs, it's a little different than if you're the New York Jets, right? So let's run through some of these. Terrell 45, 49ers, trade Garoppolo for Deshaun and the Super Bowl. Boom. That's his best case scenario.
Yeah, if they want to give up everything.
Wade, as a Falcons fan, actually utilizing Julio Jones as the top five receiver he is for the entire season.
That would be a plus.
Brian, Patriots fan. Needs to jump off Superman Cam and let Stidham develop with the young receiver core.
What?
Yeah, I'm not even going to comment on that.
Stidham's your guy, huh?
And that's, I don't know about the receiver core. That's the other thing, right?
Yeah, no matter what receiving core.
They got a lot of work to do. Cam is not the issue.
And how about Kai Nova 82? Coaches and players are paid because they're the best in the world.
Here we go.
So the only successful season is a Super Bowl win. Anything less is a good, capitalized good season. The NFL is a business. Businesses stay alive when good and thrive when they're best.
Hmm. Breathe, Keisha.
No, it's fine. He has a point.
He has a point.
Yeah, he's a point.
Everybody tries to win a Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah. I start off the season in training camp in July thinking I'm going to the Super Bowl at the end of January, early February, every single year I played, even though I may have not had a chance. I thought that I was doing it every single year. So
tomorrow, Mel's partner, Todd McShay's mock draft drops. We'll wait to see what he has at number two. As Jay said, the draft starts at number two. From the words you heard from Joe Douglas here over the last 24 hours, I'll pick up the phone. Sam isn't as untouchable. He walked it back a little bit. What is there to make of that?
I think he's talking to two things, though, right? He's talking to Deshaun and the Houston Texans when he's talking about, I'll pick up the phone. And he's also telling people he's available if you got something for me. If it's not the right price, then don't bother calling. So he's saying two things there. And that's always the case. Everybody is tradable. Everybody. I don't want to hear nothing about Patrick Mahomes is not tradable. Patrick Mahomes is tradable. I'll give you the next 25 years of the draft. I mean, everybody
I'm not trading Patrick
Mahomes. No, of course you're not.
I know. He's not tradable.
Everybody always is available. What's the price? Okay, that's not going to get it done. It's unrealistic, right? I mean, that's just the way it is.
And this is a giant move for him. Douglas has come in. He is coming in after Darnold. But to have the number two pick, clearly you don't want to be picking at number two again. But this is a pivotal moment for the franchise. This is if they go quarterback.
I feel like it was more of a Hail Mary pass on Deshaun Watson, though. That's what it felt like. I'm talking to the Houston Texans, but I'm not talking to the Houston Texans.
No, I'm talking to the Houston Texans, but I'm kind of letting people know that it's available. Sam's available for the right price.
Did anybody think Sam wasn't available for the right price?
But yeah. Yeah.
You think so? I don't know if that's consensus amongst the league that, hey, Sam's untouchable. I mean, if you wanted Sam, you would make some calls.
There's coaches, general managers, executives that see Sam as still can play. There's fans and people in sports talk radio and television that have no idea. They just going off what everybody else says. The dude can really play. I'm not saying this because he went to SC. He could play football. If he's throwing the Zubin and you all day long, ain't no way in the world he's going to be any good.
Good catches.
Man, please stop. Stick to sports. Basketball.
Stick to sports.
I mean, stick to
basketball. That's my new line. Stick to sports, you numbnut.
Why are you have a hood on? Hoodie. Why are you wearing that? What do you got on, Wranglers? You do got on Wranglers, aren't you?
No, I do not. Stop. Stop it.
Real.
Sag Harbor
comfortable
sweater.
Jeans. Jeez. See you tomorrow.